This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Praise Yahweh. Got a good one lined up for you in the way of studying the Scriptures. And we ask you to get your Bibles ready as we're going to go very soon into the depths of the Scriptures to try to determine the essentials that it takes for you to make the trip across Jordan. Now, we're talking about types and shadows here. And we don't believe anything has changed, that everything that is in the Scripture are in there for the benefit of the sheep. And tonight we're going to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to give you a comparison of the wise and the foolish. We believe that today in this modern era of time, that with so much deceivableness in the world, deceivers going to and fro, deceiving the very elect. And we've got churches on every corner. We've got preachers thicker than hair on a dog's back, if you will. And we got problems, ladies and gentlemen, to sort through and identify and really get down to what the truth is. Now, I am saddened with the burden tonight of being responsible for your soul, to them that hear me. And if you're studying, a student of mine, and you're joining us tonight, and whether you are not a student and you're joining us, if I teach you anything contrary to sound doctrine, then your blood, if I am the cause or purpose of your missing the kingdom call, then your blood would be upon my hands, and I would receive a greater damnation. Verse 51 of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew gives you an illustration. The last verse in that chapter says, "And I shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There is something that we don't get here, don't understand, don't really, we can't see the depths of the suffering and the sorrow that would come with missing the kingdom. And if we are down here and we gain the whole world and we miss the kingdom, we have accomplished nothing. The comparison between what is here and the beauty, the joy, remember Christ was tempted to take the kingdoms of this earth. He refused them, knowing what was laid up for him. So he walked by faith, as we do here tonight. And his faith, of course, was much more stronger than ours. And yet, the Bible said he was tempted in all points. So on the comparison sheet of the faith that he had, the temptations that he endured were greater than the temptations that you will bear. But keep in mind, there was no temptation taken you that he hadn't saw or endured himself. So, and the good thing about it, when you call upon him, when you do get in trouble with these drunken religions that get you drunk and intoxicate you and they seem right, and you go sailing off with them into the wild blue yonder, as the old saying goes, and then you're let down by the preacher or the doctrine, you begin to see exactly what they're doing, and they're very crafty and deceiving. Well, let's start tonight. We're going to study on... We've been on the name for all week. Now, we're going to close out tonight with a portion of the Scriptures that we're going to use tonight in reflection to what it takes for you to enter into heaven's gates and to be qualified to pass through. I guess we could say that. Now, verse 1 of chapter 25, Matthew, if you have your Bibles, go there with us as we start. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish." Now, you can see that the foolish took their lamps. I mean, here they are with the burdened of lamps. They have these lamps. But notice verse 3. The foolish took no oil with them. Now, can you imagine people that claim to be saved, sanctified, and on the way to heaven with no oil? Do you know that the Bible says many will stand before him in that day with no oil? Do you know? Now, this way is Christian. It has a Christian. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you know Satan's disabled, well, you seem right. And the Bible says there is a way that seems right. So what you've got to do, as a sheep here among all the wolves, and then sheep, so don't get caught in the wolf pen. It's strange that dumb sheep will wander right into a trying to seek safety, praise Yahweh. And it's strange how that no danger, smell no danger, or think no danger, but false ways. Five were wise, five were foolish. So they had lamps, but they didn't have any oil. Now, do you know of any jail moment? Do you believe that you've done everything? You then turned over every scripture in the Bible? Have you looked at it real good? Have you actually pushed your plate back for a long period? Have you really considered fasting as a tool to your comprehension or your ability to receive oil? Most people don't even talk about the oil and the comparison oil with the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible said he will give the veil. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered. Now remember, the wise had oil on. The difference between the two, they all did things alike. The only difference is, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom called. The virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the fool said, our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, said, not so, but rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. It sounds to me like the same thing that happened in the days of Noah, 25. Now, we're right in the scripture of the judgment in the 46th verse, and these, but the righteous into life eternal. So the end resulted for life. Or are you headed for a life? Sleep good, think good, feel good, see good, act good, and am good. Examine yourself. The Bible said, search yourself, examine yourself. Now, how does Christ come? Now, if I was to give you a simple, complicated thing, if I gave you some complicated thing or some simple thing, so is there some kind of a middle ground to obtain eternal life? Remember, the young man that needs to know, what must I do to have eternal life? And the father responded to him, thou quoted a couple of commandments. Number one, thou shalt love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If I can keep these from my youth up. And then he was told, you lack one thing yet. Now, that tonight, as we study in Scripture, that we're not lacking anything that will forbid our entrance into. Now, notice as we look in the book of John, I want to give you a verse of Scripture in the third chapter of the book of John. We're going to talk about the Spirit just a little bit and compare it to the oil. Now, the oil for the lamp, remember, you have to have the wicks and you have to have the container. Now, you don't want polluted oil. It's the oil. According to the Bible says that my Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. And he that defies the temple, Yahweh himself shall destroy. We'll read that just a moment for you. We are in the third chapter of the book of John, and we are concerning Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he was a ruler of the Sanhedrin court. And the same came to the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, by night, and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou do, except that God be with him. And the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, said, Jesus in your King James here, said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, seeing the kingdom. You can't go anywhere you can't see unless you're led there. Now, if the blind lead the blind, what happens? We've got a ditch experience coming up sooner or later. I mean, a blind man, by the average, can drive just a short distance before that he loses his way. Matter of fact, he's already lost before he starts. He's just using the percentages to try to get where he's going. It don't work. The blind leads the blind. Both of them go to the ditch. Now, verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? The Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua, answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, here's the key. I want you to look at it real good. The fifth verse of the third chapter of John. Look at it and examine it. Think about it. Now, don't let no preacher go into these long exhortations about, well, that means, you know, when you're in the womb and you've got a little sack of water, a little bag of water, a little pouch, if you will, and that's what he's talking about. No, 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 no. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's the natural man. We're talking about the spiritual man. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I'm going to drop down to the 22nd verse. If you're studying with me, drop to the 22nd and read with me. After these things came the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua, Jesus, and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Now, what was he baptizing in? Well, let's find out, verse 23. And John also was baptizing into Aenon, near to Phelim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So then, water is the issue. Baptism is the key to entrance into the kingdom of heaven. You say, now, Pastor Buddy, I just can't believe that because our church preaches that water don't have one thing to do with saving you. All right, that's fine. If you've been taught that, let's find out if the Bible will back your message up. Now, we're going over to 1 John quickly, chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 3. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, we've got to find out what the commandments are. This is the love of God if we keep his commandments. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, we're talking about how to get into the kingdom here. Now, let's remember that the witness here in John chapter 3 of St. John's Gospel, verse 5, marvel not, he said in verse 7, that you must be born again. Verse 5, except you be born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter. So the Father has got a mode, a method, if you will, or a key to the kingdom. Now, remember, the Bible says here, now when I mention the word key, I want you to think of Mark's Gospel. Turn with me to the 14th chapter of the book of Mark. And we're going to read you a verse of scripture in Mark. I said 14, but it's the 16th chapter that I'm really looking for. Mark, yeah, chapter 16. Go there with me. Praise Yahweh. I'm going to start at the 15th verse of the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. We're talking about key. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every believer. Here it says creature. That's Strong's number 2937. You're not a creature unless we're talking about the miserable flesh man. And the Bible says baptism is not for the putting away of the filth of flesh. Now that's a mystery. But I'll prove to you just in a minute that baptism, water baptism, is never for the cleansing or to clean up the flesh man. Ladies and gentlemen, the flesh man is nothing but flesh. And you've got to work on him every day and deny him the fleshly lust that he yearns for in his carnal mind. So water baptism has nothing to do with washing the outward man. It has nothing to do with it. Just get that plumb out of your mind. It is not for the washing of the outward. I'll prove it to you just in a moment. he that believeth, verse 16, this is Mark 16:16, mark it in your Bible. We're looking for the keys to salvation and the entrance to the kingdom. Remember, five wise and five foolish. Now, this is the wine, or this is the oil, if you will, that was lacking in the five foolish. They hadn't obeyed the scripture. I'll prove it to you just in a minute, how that some still deny the scriptures against themselves. Here it is. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something to follow you after you become a believer, after you're baptized. Remember, he that is a believer and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what would be the result if you wasn't a believer and you wasn't baptized? Well, let's just say that you say you're a believer and you're not baptized. Are you saved? He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, that's very simple. Now, we're going to Luke, and I'm going to give you a verse of scripture in Luke. We're going to the 7th chapter of the book of Luke. Read with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 7, and we're going to look at the scriptures that are there to tell us or to warn us. Now, remember the five wise and five foolish. Five were wise. They had all. How did they get the Holy Spirit? We're going to find out that the Bible says you must be born of water and spirit. There is a two-fold key here, combination, on the lock system. And we're going to find out just exactly how Yahweh's word, you can see he can't lie. If you'll obey his word, he gives the Holy Ghost to them and obey him. Now, he doesn't give you anything if you don't obey him. The Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Remember, there was much water there, and our Savior, our Creator, our Yahweh in the flesh, God, if you will, Almighty, that unwrapped himself, unveiled himself into a human body through the positioning of himself into a flesh man and called himself the Son of Man. Actually, in reality, he was dwelling temporary for 33 and a half years in a body of flesh. This body of flesh was given for the sins of the world. And then when he rose up this body is a testimony that he himself was baptized, water baptized in Jordan. And remember then John, in the 3rd chapter in the 22nd and 23rd verses we just got through reading, John and his disciples, after that the Messiah was in Judea baptizing, they came and they were baptized of the Messiah. Now, you all hear about John baptizing Jesus, but you never hear about Jesus baptizing John. And right there it is in John chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 and 24, that they came and they were baptized when they heard that the Messiah himself was there baptizing, John and his disciples. Now, let's see what wise men and foolish men do in demonstration of works. Remember, it's the doer that is justified. The sayers, never doers, you know, they're not going to make it into the kingdom. That's the foolish. Let's find out who the foolish are here. Verse 28, and I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Remember, John came and was baptized along with his disciples. He was baptized by the Messiah. But he that is least, we're talking about the least one in the kingdom age of the Messiah, he is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, verse 29, mark it in your Bible if you're studying with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call tonight, you need to mark these scriptures that you might have an answer concerning your salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not playing games. This is life and death for your soul. It doesn't mean anything in the flesh, man, tonight. You won't probably suffer any pain. You probably go right on to sleep tonight. Maybe, hopefully you won't if you haven't obeyed this. Maybe you'll toss and turn, and then you'll fly in here to Tennessee and get baptized in the great name of Yahweh. As these have rejected, you need to accept. Verse 29. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans. Now, you know what a publican is. That is nothing but a sinner that would not even as much as look up. The Bible had an analogy of the Pharisee and the publican. Remember, the Pharisee went around boasting and bragging how holy he was, and the publican not so much as even with the courage to look up because of his sins, looked up and found more grace to the Father than did the Pharisee. But when all the people heard him, they and the publicans justified God, being baptized with a baptism of John. Isn't that amazing? Here it says, now he just got through asking them a question. He says, John, what about John? Was the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it of man? And so they were in a predicament. They said, well, if we say that it was from heaven, he's going to say, why didn't you believe it? Praise Yahweh. And then if we say that, no, it wasn't of heaven, they feared the people would stone him to death because they took John to be a prophet. And anybody who went against the prophet would receive stoning. So the Pharisees said, well, we can't answer that question. And he said, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things when he was cleansing the temple. Well, here is the, if you will, the analogy here, this comparison in scriptures. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized. Well, the rest of the people got baptized, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected it. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call, we're down to the bottom now. I'm coming back, and we're going into some more meat on how to get into the kingdom. Remember, we're looking for the key here. You come back, and you'll learn. Praise Yahweh. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're in a good one tonight. We are searching for keys to the kingdom. Remember, when you stand before him in that day, you will be examined with the word. Now, remember, the Bible said in the day of judgment, we're going to that for the scriptures here, and let me give you the text that we're looking at tonight to show you that there will be a end-time judgment that will begin when you stand before him. Notice this, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. What books? Well, one of those books is the Bible. Within the Bible, all the books is considered sacred that would give you keys to salvation. And remember, I read you in Malachi chapter 3 last night where it said, they that spake often one to another and thought upon his name, a book of remembrance was written. Now, this book is no good to you if you just read it or romance it and think about it in terms of romanticizing or telling pretty little stories out of it and going to Sunday school and not in what it says to do. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. I saw the books open. One is the book of life, and the other was the Holy Word, and which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So then, we're going to be judged according to the works of our body. Now, let's go back to chapter 28, Matthew. We're going again, as we quoted this scripture last night, we're going to show you the keys to the kingdom. There is something that you must do, and it takes some discerning. Now, those who are wise will see the depth of the scriptures and to the layers of understanding and comprehension. Remember, he spoke in parables. And they asked why that he spoke in parables. He said that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear or understand, lest they be converted. Now, why didn't he want them to be converted? Now, in the 25th chapter of the book of Proverbs, it gives you this scripture. It says that our Creator God hides things, and then it is for the experience of kings, if you will, and you are a king, a Melchizedek king, if so be that you are the appointed ones, to search out the matter. So Yahweh knew his kings would come forth and search the matter out. It's just like a bloodhound. What does a bloodhound do? He's gifted. He has a big, long ears, and that has nothing to do with his hearing, ladies and gentlemen, because he can't hear any better than the average dog. But there is something that he does have, and it's the most keenest sense of smell of all the animals in the kingdom is the bloodhound. And just give him a faint scent, and he will remember it, and he will trail until he drops, because he is on the trail of the scent. Well, that's what the Heavenly Father knew, that once he gave you a scent, you see what I'm talking about? How can they accept their sin? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So for those who are kings sent to search out the matter, Yahweh, he phrased these parables and things knowing that his children, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, when they hear the word, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So when you get the keys to the kingdom, now, ladies and gentlemen, it takes, you may wander in darkness until the light comes on. And you have to hear the gospel through the ministering of the Spirit, 28 and 18. Listen as we read. And Yahweh came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father. Now, if you'll pause right there, I want you to tell Pastor Buddy here, and let me just speak to your mind, and let your mind do the walking through the pages here of recollection. I want you to recall the times that I've talked this week about the divine name. How many times did I say that the name Yahweh had been taken and removed out of the old parchment? 5,823 times where the word in capital letters Lord appears, it should have been the holy sacred name of Yahweh. Remember, he said, the stone the builders rejected. Now, they put in a name that would deceive the very elect. This is amazing how when I have to come along in the flood, I'm right between, if you notice, Pastor Buddy comes in here, and I've got these Jesus preachers on every side preaching Jesus. They advertise day and night. They're well supported, but no different. So was Baal. The prophets of Baal were most popular. Elijah was a man that laid in the wilderness. He was fed by the ravens, if you will. And he lived in the wilderness because he was not accepted. The rest of the king's prophets, Balaam, and all the Baal prophets, along with Jezebel and all the prophets to Ishtar, the goddess, there was about 800 or so of them, and they ate at the king's table. And they fared quite well, even in the drought. You know that if there was any food in the land, the king would exact his taxes upon the land, and so these prophets were eating good. When Elijah and the brook dried up, he was told to move to the widow's house. Now, this is an analogy, if of the famine in the land. The Bible says, there shall come a famine in the land, not for bread or water. That's not a problem today. It's for hearing the true word of Yahweh and the true name. Now go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. My question to you, what is the Father's name? And it can't be Jesus. Nowhere in scriptures, and I have a $5,000 reward for anyone that can read Jesus in the Old Testament. It just isn't there. Not one scripture will give you reference to Jesus in the Old Testament. But ladies and gentlemen, 5,823 times alone in the Old Testament, when you restore the true name, then you'll understand what name to go out and baptize in as the Holy Commission. I'm the only preacher here on the radio that I know of that teaches water baptism for the remission of sin in the name of Yahweh publicly. Others that do it don't do it publicly. They won't touch this bone, because it becomes a bone of contention, and they know that 99% of the people listening to them are perhaps in Jesus' name. And they don't want to offend them, because it would cut down on their tithing and things of this nature. Well, you see, we are not interested in how much money you've got or how much money you can send us. We're interested in your soul and what it takes to get you to the pearly gate. We know where our reward is anyway. We know only a few will support the truth. And by that few, our voice gets in here among all these other Baal prophets. And we call them now Jesus prophets. Now they'll preach Jesus like trees are falling, and not one verse of scripture to substantiate or validate the name Jesus. It just ain't there. And yet they keep barking like the prophets of Baal. They'll cut themselves all day long and cry out. Now, baptize them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son. Now, here's the problem. If the name of the Father and the Son is not the same name, then what needs to be done is two names are to be called upon you. Well, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. Well, the Son said in John 5:43, we've covered that in the name series, I am come, I am come, I am, the verb to be, or the cause or the self-existent one, I am that I am, of Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, I am that I am is Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. I am Yahweh. That is my name forever, my memorial. Now, why did they take that name out? They didn't want you to go to heaven. You see, the enemy has slept or crept in while the sons of Yahweh slept. And while the enemy came in, while the virgins carried and slept, they sowed tares, false names, if you will, into the Bible. Now, what about the name Jesus? Let me repeat it again. How was it pronounced in Spanish? I dare you to say it. You probably know how to pronounce it. If you don't, let Pastor Buddy pronounce it for you. Jesus. Jesus, does that sound like the divine name of Yahweh? I don't think so, do you? Then if you were appointed as a preacher, now most of these preachers go out and baptize just like it says here. They don't discern, they don't interpretate, they just go out and do what it says, and hundreds of thousands of people who don't bother to check, do a truth check, straight as way, narrow as a gate, and a few that be to find it, you must search. It is in the command for the kings to search the matter out. Here the Bible says to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son. Now, if the Father and Son don't have the same name, we've got a major dilemma here. Now, if I say I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, never do pronounce the Father's name. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't matter. God's got many names. Well, how many names has the Son got? Oh, see, I never thought of that. Well, if the Son, and of course you're going to say it's Jesus, probably if you're on the average, 99 out of 100 people when asked the question, what is the name of the Son? Oh, it's Jesus. Well, how do you say it? How do you say it in Spanish? Well, I really don't know. I'm not Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. Well, the name Jesus rings a bell to them that would think about Zeus. Now, if you go back to the Egyptian deity, Ea, and then add the Greek god Zeus, then you'll see how that they have combined these two words or these two names together to form, in the Greek, a word that spells I-E-S-U-S. Now, in the Greek, it was I-E-S-O-U-S, Ea-Zeus. Now, the English has shortened it down to I-E-S-U-S and then later to J-E-S-U-S. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a very, very solemn warning. Do not be deceived. Search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You have none. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you an example here. If in the 28th chapter here of the book of Matthew, and we're reading in the 19th verse, where it says to go ye therefore into all nations and to teach them to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son. And the Son said himself, I am come in my Father's name. Here in John again, he said, I have manifested thy name to the men that thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they are, and thou gavest them me. And I have declared unto them thy name, verse 26 of John 17. So, now, notice this, praise Yahweh. I want you to go over to Mark chapter 11, and I am going to give you verses 9 and verse 10. And they, now, these that cut down branches off the trees and strode them in the way, when he come riding into the city on the colt, and this is the Messiah, they cast their garments on him, and he set him thereon. And he went before, and they followed, crying, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Now, Lord, here is a misnomer. Remember that. They didn't say in the Aramaic tongue, these were little Israelites running before the Messiah, they knew the name of the Creator. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Hosanna to the highest. Now, I want you to turn back to Psalms. Turn back there, if you will, to Psalms 68:4. Let me give you a verse of scriptures. Now, remember, the translators have actually chopped up the word pretty good. But some of these have escaped the translators, and they didn't do as good a job as they thought they had. So here comes the king searching out the matter. Now, notice verse 4. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. How do you say hallelujah? Why do you say hallelujah, by the way? If you ever notice, the next time you go to church, if you are a churchgoer and you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight, I'm alternative. See, I'm your other alternative version here. I am the square peg for the round hole of religion. I don't fit in. And you won't fit in either when you get in this divine holy name. You shall be hated, according to Matthew 10:22, you shall be hated by or for this name. If you take it on, now you ain't going to be hated till you wear it. You can talk about it, think about it, pray about it, but until you put it on, you'll never know what it's like to be hated by Christians. You see, the problem is, you're going to be hated by Christians. If you put me and all the preachers on Truth Radio that's preaching in the name of Jesus, if you put us all together, I would be the one they'd all jump on. You know why? Because I'm in the holy, divine name of Yahweh. But I would have scripture to defend myself, and all they would have would be excuses and tradition. They'd smite the breast and say, well, we know what we've got. And basically, that's how they avoid truth. Well, let's look at it again. How many ways have you got saying hallelujah? What does the word hallelujah mean? It's the highest praise in the Hebrew language. It means praise ye Yahweh. That's what it means. So when you're saying hallelujah, you're actually saying praise ye Yahweh. Now, I'm going to the 91st Psalm as they say hallelujah, by the way. If you ever notice, the next time you go to church, if you are a churchgoer, and you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight, I'm alternative. See, I'm your other alternative version here. I am the square peg for the round hole of religion. I don't fit in. And you won't fit in either when you get in this divine holy name. You shall be hated, according to Matthew 10:22, you shall be hated by or for this name. If you take it on, now, you ain't going to be hated till you wear it. You can talk about it, think about it, pray about it, but until you put it on, you'll never know what it's like to be hated by Christians. You see, the problem is, you're going to be hated by Christians. If you put me and all the preachers on Truth Radio that's preaching in the name of Jesus, if you put us all together, I would be the one they'd all jump on. You know why? Because I'm in the holy, divine name of Yahweh. But I would have scripture to defend myself, and all they would have would be excuses and tradition. They'd smite the breast and say, well, we know what we've got. And basically, that's how they avoid truth. Well, let's look at it again. How many ways have you got saying hallelujah? What does the word hallelujah mean? It's the highest praise in the Hebrew language. It means praise ye Yahweh. That's what it means. So when you're saying hallelujah, you're actually saying praise ye Yahweh. Now, I'm going to the 91st Psalm. It's a very famous chapter, but there's a particular verse in there that most people skip around, and they don't want to reveal what it means here. Let's look at it. The 14th verse, 91:14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Now this is the promise of the eternal to the Son who would come upon the earth. Remember I said in John 5:43, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Now, I've come in my Father's name, Yahweh. Are you going to receive me tonight? Are you going to be like the five foolish? Are you going to be one of those that turn this name away? Or are you going to be one of the wise that takes the formula here to get oil into your lamp? Remember, oil comes in no other name. There is none other name under heaven given among men but the name of Yahweh. It's the true name, the tried name, and the precious name. It's a magnificent name. It is a magnanimous name, as I declare unto you. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Now remember, Father, while I was with them on the earth, talking about the disciples that were he was teaching and told them to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, he said, I taught them your name. I manifested your name. John 17:6, John 17:26. Read and see if he didn't tell them what the name of the Father was. Now, when he told them to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, do you believe he told them to go out and baptize saying Father or in the name of the Father? There's where you separate the men from the boys, the kings from those who have ability to discern what the meaning was and those that don't. That's the chaff and the wheat being separated right there, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what the word's for. It's to separate you from every false way. Well, this is Pastor Buddy. My time is just blown away here tonight. And I'm all out of time here. So I've got to tell you how to contact me. If you'd like to contact me tonight, if you'd like to be baptized, we're thankful. We had several last night to contact us about water baptism in the name of Yahweh. We are available. If you are living long distance, one good man called me from California last night over on the West Coast, and he's 3,000 miles away from me. He was going to make the trip here to Tennessee and still might do it. But we know friends around the country that can perform water baptism. This brother that lives in California, I was put in touch with a brother that also lives in California who is qualified as a Melchizedek high priest to baptize him into Holy Communion with the Father. So it would be very wise for you tonight, if you would like to be baptized, call me up, email me, or write me, and we may have someone in your area that is qualified and trained as a Melchizedek priest to baptize you in the sacred, wonderful, magnificent, magnanimous, holy, powerful, almighty name of Yahweh. Only one name given, ladies and gentlemen. It is the name of the Father, and it just so happens to be that the name of the Father is the name of the Son. I and my Father are one, John 10:30. Now, what happened when he told them he and the Father were one? They picked up stones to stone him. If I was to get in a preacher convention, wouldn't I be something? Here I am in the name of Yahweh and all these other preachers in the name of Jesus. And if I start preaching the name of Yahweh, you know what they're going to do? They're going to throw stones at me, as they usually do. Well, I'm not loved and appreciated here upon the earth, but I do know that I'm loved and appreciated in the kingdom, and so will you if you will trim your wick. Put oil in your lamp, repent, be baptized in the great name of the King of all kings, Yahweh. Only one, no substitute will do. Don't take a substitute. Don't take anything that is a seem-right name. Don't take that. Take the one that you can prove. Over 7,000 times in scriptures alone, the name of Yahweh stands alone and by itself. Pastor Buddy, the shepherd's call, write me, Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284. That's 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. Now, let me know if you would like to be baptized, if you'd like to put oil in your lamp and make yourself available, worthy, or authorized and qualified to go to the heaven that is called by the name of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. That's where I want to go. See you there at the gate. Now, remember, the five wise are going to be left. They're not going to make it. If you would like to, well, ladies and gentlemen, our time is just about up, and we will see you, Yahweh willing, next Monday night at 8 o'clock here again on Truth Radio, and we will continue our teachings on the divine name and water baptism. We will give you part two of the message Monday night at 8 o'clock. Call a friend and tell them that this message will be there for them, and it may be the most important message that you've ever heard in your life. Remember, the Bible says he will give the spirit to them that obey him. The prophets of Baal were many. The prophets of Yahweh were one. The prophets of Yahweh won out. So I read the last chapter, we win. And the name of Yahweh will be the name that will be declared throughout all the earth. The Baal prophets are coming down. We're tearing their house down. They don't have anything to stand. They won't debate us. They won't come out of the woodwork and debate us. They know that they don't have any leg other than tradition to stand on. Well, I'm out of here. Praise Yahweh, and Yahweh bless you tonight. Give me a call, Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172, or write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. We'll see you Monday night. Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.